We have to get more creative and involving ourselves in our communication around kind of these untapped areas, right? Universities, referral programs, certain media channels, right? How do we infiltrate kind of some of these other untapped areas that maybe companies aren't thinking about, especially if you're a newer company versus an older company.
Welcome to the All In Recruitment Podcast by Manutal, where we explore best practices, learnings, and trends with leaders in the recruitment space. If you like our content, please subscribe to our channels on YouTube and Spotify to stay tuned for our weekly episodes. My name is Lydia, and joining us today is Jennifer Rakau of Uber Freight. Welcome to the show, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Lydia. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Jennifer. I see that you've had an expansive career, first and foremost, in tech recruiting. I mean, you started off in core tech recruitment and then moved on to different roles. So what's inspired you to stay in the talent space?
It's a really good question. I think for me, starting off in this industry, I think technology was always where recruiting was going to be, have its kind of biggest gamble. So it's biggest risk for its biggest reward. It was one of the areas that I just thrived in when actually getting into this space. And I actually didn't start in recruiting. I actually started as a coordinator. And so having kind of sat in a recruiter seat, having sat in a recruiting coordinator seat, I've kind of seen different angles of how this industry has changed. And I think for me, it's about the connection that kind of drives, you know, recruiting to candidate, recruiting to hiring manager, ultimately to offer acceptance. And that's kind of, I think for me, that was what's the most exciting part of being in this industry was.
You've done core tech recruitment. I mean, really real in that role of recruiting people in the tech space for some time. And then you moved on to talent acquisition and also leadership roles in the later years. Right. So in your observation, how has it changed the landscape of tech recruitment specifically?
You know, it's changed a lot from when I was first in recruiting. And I love this question. People always ask, you know, what was it like to recruit in the 90s versus what's it like to recruit now? And I always tell people, especially young recruiters kind of coming up into this industry, we, you know, back then we were cold calling people at their desks at their office. And now, you know, fast forward almost 30 years, we're texting people their schedules. It's incredible how much this industry has changed from our initial reach out to how we reach out to candidates, now. So for me, that's been really interesting. And just, it's kind of our industry is so cyclical by nature. And I think it's kind of an adopt or die type of industry. So for the ones that kind of were able to kind of harness that change, I think they've done really well and been really successful. But I think for the others that like had a tougher time kind of coming around to the new technologies and the new way of doing things, I don't know necessarily if they're probably still in this industry. They probably realize that this isn't for me anymore because it's changed so much. But for me, it's always been a passion.
And it's interesting that the change didn't just affect the way recruiters do things, but also what a recruiter would know about the roles that they're recruiting. Tech itself has changed. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're so used to, you know, back then we were looking at a resume and checking boxes. Did the candidate have this and this and this? And now I think the recruiters are so much more advanced in the technology space. They're really, really, truly embedded with their leaders and with their hiring teams within these technical spaces that they know more about the ins and outs of these teams and these roles than most of the people on, you know, on the team. So it's been an interesting evolution to see.
So what areas have you prioritized in this role with Uber Freight?
I think probably within TA, I think for me specifically at Uber Freight, we're focusing on excellence, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is the year that we want to focus on, you know, how we communicate, how we track our progress with data, how we use that data to drive business decisions. I think it's important to kind of understand that there's still a very big human element of our job that I think sometimes we forget, because in this space, there's so much technology and there are so many tools at our disposal, but this is still a very human job, right? Mm-hmm. So I think for us, prioritizing how we communicate with our candidates, how we communicate with our hiring leaders, and not forgetting that we still have that human connection has been really, really important to our success. And it's helped drive accountability and excellence in everything we do.
Now, Uber Freight operates in that intersection of technology and logistics. So does this kind of unique position influence your approach to tech recruitment?
You know, I would like to say that it does, but at the end of the day, you're like, recruiting is recruiting. Do you have the skills for this job? Do you understand the comp for this role? But there's consistency in how we recruit. The consistency in how we recruit should never be different. So yes, we'll use different technologies. We'll use different tools. We'll use different understandings of how that looks like from a successful from a success standpoint. But at the end of the day, I do feel like we still want that consistency in our process from recruiting to recruiting. So whether you're recruiting technology or you're recruiting non-tech, G&A, BizOps, whatever it is, I think the success lies in how consistent we are from role to role. So I think for me, that's the most important part of when we look at how technology and logistics, I mean, the technology and logistics space alone is a very interesting space to be in, right? Mm-hmm. You come from Uber that's very tech focused, and then you go into logistics, but we're actually building and integrating our technology into our logistics platform. So I think that's also kind of a part of how we recruit and who we recruit.
And you spoke earlier about making sure that communication with the candidates and also with your internal stakeholders is made priority. Are there any best practices or any measures that you put in place that might be, you know, but might be useful to the audience listening in terms of how you streamline that process or how you get the most efficient process out of all these communication?
Yeah, I think the efficiency lies in our consistency, right? And you'll hear me say that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. How we, you know, I always ask a recruiter, you know, you're really successful with this hiring leader. Can you go and duplicate that success elsewhere? Right? Do you have a consistent process in how you do things? And if you can be successful over here, and you're successful over here, and you're successful over here, then I can plug and play people, right? And know that hiring leader is going to have the same process, the same experience with every person. That shows a level of consistency and kind of just from a growth perspective that helps the recruiters understand, like, okay, this is how we want, right? We want to have the same consistent process across each, and the hiring manager is never getting a different experience every time. They know what they're getting going into it.
Right. And the expectation is already set from the get-go.
Exactly.
Now, in terms of diversity, what might be some ways to integrate DE&I into talent efforts or the overall talent plan, especially in the tech sector?
When I think about D&I, I think we need to go where the talent is. I think that's the biggest key, is understanding, you know, companies are always saying, you know, we're going to sit back and let candidates apply and hope we get some diverse talent. We have to go where the talent is. We have to understand where those communities are, what's important to those communities, and how we kind of infiltrate those communities, right? So yes, our conference is important, of course, Afrotech, Grace Hopper, Nesby, these are all important, but we have to get more creative and involving ourselves in our communication around kind of these untapped areas, right? Universities, referral programs, certain media channels, right? How do we infiltrate kind of some of these other untapped areas that maybe companies aren't thinking about, especially if you're a newer company versus an older company? You know, I worked at Google for a while, and kind of one of the biggest things that Google did that I thought was brilliant was they got into the universities very, very early. You know, they wanted to tap that talent early, even if they weren't hiring those people right out the gate. 3-4 years later, they always knew who Google were. They always said, oh, that's a company I want to work at. So they were making that kind of play for talent 3 or 4 years before that talent was even ready. That's the untapped areas that I think companies don't spend enough time and energy on, because they're always looking for more experienced versus is there potential.
And we'll talk about experience versus potential right now. How do you see hiring for potential versus experience?
I think it depends on time, right? I think it's kind of similar to DEI, right? You know, we all know DEI is going to take longer to hire for, right? We talk about that with executive leadership all the time. You know, do you have the time it's going to take to invest in DEI talent? Do you have the time it's going to take to invest in potential versus experience? So it really always boils down to, if we find somebody that with potential, does that leader have time to really harness that potential with that person? And I would love to say that it's like, it's an easy, quick fix of something that we can adjust as TA professionals, but it really relies on the leaders of those groups to really understand what potential looks like and take the time to harness it.
Would you say that the time taken to harness the actual contribution or the actual potential, even with an experienced hire versus potential, would you say it's about the same? Let's say both of them are new hires coming into a brand new company, one with potential, perhaps without the experience, the other with experience, but without the cultural adaptability, not just yet. Would that take about the same amount of time? Does that make both these types of hires require enough time for a leader to nurture their performance in a team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it depends on the leader, to be honest. I'd like to say yes, but I think ultimately it depends on, you know, you're hiring somebody with potential. You're probably going to spend more time with that person. That person's probably going to interact with other parts of the business versus an experienced person who's going to come in and be able to hit the ground running. But then there's also the cultural aspect that they have to kind of understand and learn and harness too. So I think it might be a different subset of time, but I think ultimately it's still significant time spent. It's how you're harnessing one versus the other that I think makes the difference.
Now, in terms of building a high performance team, especially in a team or in a company or an organization that has a direction that knows where it's going in terms of where it wants to be and in a phase of growth, perhaps, right? So building a high performance team is definitely crucial for an organization's success. So what might be some aspects to look at in terms of building a high performance team from a talent acquisition perspective?
Yeah, I think when I think about how I have built teams in the past, I think trust is the first thing that comes to mind. I'm always a kind of trust forward leader versus a you have to earn it kind of leader. And I think harnessing everybody's abilities that are different from your own, I think is also key. So I have five leaders on my team. All of them are so distinctly different from each other that when we get into meetings, you know, we challenge how we think, we challenge decisions. Everybody has a different perspective. Everybody has a different approach to either how they're solving problems or how they're addressing challenges that I think it makes me a stronger leader to kind of understand. And hopefully it makes them stronger leaders to really kind of build off of that. So just like recruiters, like when I build recruiting teams, you know, we kind of have, it's very similar, right? Like they have different levels. You have different levels of teams. You've got seniors, you've got juniors, you've got people in their kind of mid-career. And I think understanding what's special or different about each one of them that stands out, I think that makes a difference for them and for you as the leader. You can always tell a person, a leader's success by the amount of people that follow them, right? And for me, that's been one of the things that I specifically look for when I'm looking at a new opportunity. You know, is how many people, you know, how many people have you worked with in the past? How many of those people are here? And that tells me, you know, yeah, if you're willing to follow this person, then that trust has already been established. You know how this person works. You understand the ins and outs. You know how to harness their strengths and their weaknesses. And I think that in itself helps them want to perform for you.
Right. In your experience, going back perhaps to your days in recruitment and now looking at recruitment technologies from a leadership perspective, right? So what kind of impact do you think recruitment technologies have shown or have made in securing or even hiring the best tech talent?
There's so many out there. There's so many, you know, obviously you need a solid ATS. I'd like to say that, you know, tech can either be really sexy or really non-sexy. And I think it's the sexy that attracts a certain amount of people, whether it's applied machine learning or AI or robotics versus your run of the mill, full stack back end, front end type of, you know, engineering type of tech. It's the technology in itself that I think is appealing is becoming more and more appealing to people, and how they get more and more specialized into the areas that they want to be specialized in, like robotics and AI and some of these others, especially like on the hardware side too, right? Do they want to build consumer products? Do they want to build the software that goes in it from a user experience perspective? So it's hard to kind of pinpoint when I look at like technology as a whole and like what tools we use, because there's just so many out there. But I think a solid ATS is important. You know, obviously LinkedIn, you need to have a solid CRM tool. You need to understand, you know, the different sourcing or channels models that help build pipeline. So kind of all those encompassing, I think, I couldn't nail anyone down because I've used so many and each one is really, really great. And each one has their own set of problems, right? I think when it comes to building out a usable functional tool that can really kind of build a framework for a recruiter's daily tasks.
Yeah, and that would mean integrating that tool into the different the tools that you have for other purposes, such as ATS into HRIS systems that you have that might give you a seamless flow. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's so many technologies out there, each one with their own unique ability to get you what you want to see in terms of data. So, and finally, just to wrap this up, what is your favorite or most memorable recruitment story, Jennifer?
I was thinking about this question, and I remember I spent many years at Apple, and I remember working at Apple. I had a candidate who was in a completely different industry, was not in consumer products, was not in tech. And I remember having a conversation with this person. And after about 20, 30 minutes, I was convinced I had to find this person a place at Apple. I remember her drive, her passion. It's exactly what we needed. And so I remember having a conversation with the head of applied machine learning. And I said, hey, you have to meet this person. You know, she's not qualified for anything from a technical perspective, but I just want you to have a conversation with her. Just indulge me. And he did. And he said they ended up talking for 4 hours into the night. And he called me the next morning and said, yes, we have to find this person a role. And we ended up hiring her as a technical project manager, working in an engineering team where she had never touched anything before. She spent 4 years there. Just dominated this space. So again, we talked about potential versus experience, right? It's one of those diamonds that when you find, you're like, oof, this is amazing. I remember she sent an email to Tim Cook and basically said, hey, I had this amazing experience with this recruiter. And they basically convinced me to leave my sales job, you know, to come over here and be a TPM. And it was a dream job for her. And so for me, that was memorable.
Yeah. And in this case, it's potential versus experience. And then right in the middle, you've got this nice sweet spot of transferable skills, adaptability, and all those little nuanced elements that will make a hire really successful in a place that they've never, or in a scope that they've never handled before. So yeah, that's great. Thanks so much for sharing, Jennifer. And again, thank you very much for your time and all these insights. So if there's anyone who's listening in who wants to pick up a conversation with you, where can they find you, Jennifer?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also email me at J Rakow, which is my last name, Rakow, at uberfreight.com. Happy to answer or address any questions. I think for me, you know, this was really fun. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, leadership is my passion these days. I love seeing the next generation of recruiter and leader come into this industry and really make a difference. We are, you know, obviously you don't think of TA as being at the forefront of anything, but we really are, you know, we're essentially changing people's lives. So I'm happy to always talk about that as well.
Thanks again, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us. We have been in conversation with Jennifer Rakow of Uber Freight. Thank you for joining us, and remember to subscribe to stay tuned for more weekly episodes from All In Recruitment.